Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good.
Or not.
I'm doing
heads. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, we don't always have perfect days, so let's just be honest. It's all good. Well, what's really good is we have this opportunity to share with our listening audience, how the Spirit of God is moving within Neighbors of Hope. Through this edition of Word Made Flesh, trying to share that good news with our community through the airwaves of radio. Today's selection for reflection comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12. It's kind of in the middle of a certain pericope. So we're not going to read the whole thing, but just a couple of verses out of there. But beginning at verse 24 through 26. So if someone could read that for me, I'd certainly appreciate it.
I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me.
Thank you. Thank you. Kind of short and sweet. There's pretty good depth to this. First reflections. What jumps out at you?
The seed thing, like when you fall, like the example you gave earlier with the tomatoes, they're just seeds. They don't grow, they don't do nothing. They're just dead seeds. But you plant them, they're going to grow into like a plant and bear fruit.
And there is kind of, it does make a reference that there's a multiplication aspect to this. So if you take a single seed, you put it in the ground, proper sunshine for heat and water for moisture, it sprouts, it bears fruit, but inside the fruit are multiple seeds.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you took each of those seeds and put them back in the ground.
More will come out.
All right, you see how that grows. So on one hand, the context here is Jesus has entered the city of Jerusalem for the Passover, right? The triumphal entry, we like to call it. Some people want to speak to him, and he's really given a reference, a metaphor of what's going to happen to him. So think of him as being the seed that gets put in the ground that can bear much fruit, many other seeds, of which we would be seeds. Now the challenge is, are we taking our seed and bearing fruit? Thus, are we serving him? Yes, go ahead.
So in a sense, you're saying Jesus was a single seed. Once he died and all that, and they bore the fruit, and the other seeds came out, the disciples and other followers, then they planted their seed, and more seeds spread out, and this kept going. Because more people learned his ways and followed it, became more Christian.
Well, I here we are 2,000 years later, so the simple answer is yes. I might argue that over the years, we have taken the seeds and made various hybrids.
Not very true.
So, one could argue, how original is our seed? Right, there's
that. When I always go back by the fruit, I even ask myself every day, what kind of fruit am I bearing? What kind of seed am I bearing? Because you can plant bad seeds.
Yeah.
You can promote death. You can break something down and build them up. So you got to be careful what kind of seed are you sowing. As we learn this as we go along.
The best way to do it, you got to cling to them, like I said.
Follow them so close, so you know what kind of seed. You go out by yourself, think you know something, you don't know nothing on your own. You don't understand. You don't know what damage you're doing. Kind of crap you're playing.
It's kind of like those.
When you later, you'll see the fruit that's producing.
Okay, well.
It's like those one plants, that when they plant their seeds, they grow and stuff. It's bad. It kills other plants, so.
Seed never plants itself.
Well, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, if you get kind of corrupted in a way, and the seed grows like vines, there's some vines that'll kill other plants and stuff. And since there are the ones that dishonor or bring harm towards others, not in the right way, that the seed is
turn different.
Okay. Any other first impressions?
The only impression I get out of it is not so much about the seed, that's like a breakthrough into the next statement of anyone who loves their life will lose it. If you love this life so much, you'll lose it. And so you're going to be weak. If we're to live in this world, of this world, that's death. So you're just going to die. That's all you're going to know is death. You'll lose it. But if it dies and produces many seeds, it's the same as anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it. So I hate the fact that I'm a 30-year-old drug addict in a homeless shelter. I hate it. So what am I going to do about it? I'm going to lose that and put that to death. That's a seed I'm planting. I'm planting it. I'm not planting myself, in a sense, because if I plant myself, I'm just going to continue to be a 30-year-old drug addict in a homeless shelter. I don't want to reproduce that.
I was thinking all day, like, I gotta kill myself every day to be a better man tomorrow. That pride, that ego, that selfishness. You gotta kill it. I mean, not just kill it. You gotta come back, stop it, make sure it's laid down. It'll creep back up. Like I said, before I call it my knee monster, he starts poking his head up a little bit, and he wants, you gotta slay that giant. That's the dying. For me, that's the dying deal. Every day I gotta put something to death.
Including
he tries parents. To wake back up. Because he's not really dead, he's just taking a
And isn't this really a challenge to the depth measurement of our faith? I mean, do we really trust that if we die, we find life?
Yep.
Because, I mean, what Jesus is saying, like, you can take any seed, an apple seed, tomato seed, pumpkin seed, whatever. Right? And if you just hold on to it, it's just going to get dried up and it's not going to bear anything. It has to be put in the ground. Now, let's go back to the image of the ground, because that's part of dying. I mean, he says, unless it falls to the earth and dies, right? So imagine you're a seed, and this blue house on Broad Street, right, is the ground. Now, if you're a seed and you're in the ground, wouldn't you think it's dark?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you can't see anything. Right, you're completely dependent on external forces. In the ground, where it's dark, you cannot control the sun. And we all know you need some sunshine for photosynthesis and all that kind of stuff to heat the earth, because you need some temperature control. But you also need an external force of moisture, rain, helps make plants grow, right? Contributes. Well, we don't have control over any of that. So you get to just sit in the ground and trust that the external force will water you and provide you with the right temperature, so that eventually your shell cracks and you start sprouting. And when you sprout, right, you have roots that hang on to this source that will continue to feed you as you break through the crust of the earth and actually see the light. And if our roots aren't properly secured with the source, you're not going to bear any fruit anyways. So it can't. Part of what he's saying is this is not something we do. Yeah. If we do anything, this is what Randy was kind of saying, I just choose to die. I give up. I surrender. And it's hard for us to really surrender because we're not really sure about trusting the rain and the sun. The external force. In this sense, God.
I think we can find the proof in the fact that, all right, Jesus was all God, all man. And the thing, one of the main reasons you can prove that he was a man was he died. Only in death can we see that there was life. We see it at funerals still. When somebody dies now, their best friends come out of the woodwork and talk about their life. You know, people don't miss that life until it's gone. So yeah, you're going to miss it, but is something truly alive if it cannot die?
You could.
Go ahead.
You can put it this way, like, metaphorically, this is just like we would be saying we're trees and such. When we grow, we have our branches, right? We have the good branches, but then if one of the branches has a disease and it's down, like something bad, like the drugs, the alcohol, and us, you know, if you keep that branch on with you, it's going to kill the rest of the tree, everything. So you got to cut the tree off, cut the branch off, you know, okay. Cut that far away.
I kind of like that analogy. I think that that's accurate. Obviously, Jesus, having just entered Jerusalem, is sharing this as really of what's about to happen to him. Because the verse before us says, you know, this can be done so the Son of Man can be glorified. Right? So in that sense, he's the seed who's going to die on a cross, be buried in the earth of the tomb, and in doing so, find a resurrected life. Now, I think all of that parallels us because he says, look, if you're going to be with me, you got to be doing it. You got to be willing to do this too. Now, it might be the physical death, but are you ready to die a physical death? Most of us would say, not really, not yet. And part of that, if we are ruthlessly honest, maybe we don't really trust that life follows death. Right? Some of us have fear factors within our issues of recovery because, I don't know how to live that way. That scares me. I don't know if I can live without it. That scares me. And so we don't trust that there's life after the death of addiction. Right? So it has multiple applications.
The addiction thing you're talking about, for me, I always thought, I'm not saying that drugs are your closest guide to the salvation, but liberation is so much wanting and want to be free from, but it's like, what do I got to lose? I already been through that one day. You still smoke on me. I'll give this up. I'll let it go. I just be crazy with this. Like we already are risk takers in a way.
Uh-huh.
But now it's this crazy love. But like, I don't like trading that life for this. Like, who wouldn't? I think that's why we're so apt and so quick to be able to. I am in my first year. Because it's like, there is no other way. If I even go back to that, I don't get it. Sometimes people go back to it. It's like, to me, that's
I think it's the mindset of what do I have to lose. I think more or less we should realize that there's a lot to lose when we don't do it this way. Because there's other people counting on it. Look, when one kernel stands, that's one kernel. But when it dies, that leaves room for other kernels because it produces more. That's what we have to lose, is the other kernels.
There's a lot right on this. There's a harvest, yeah.
And in that sense, that's Jesus dying, and he bears the fruit, and here we are, 2,000 years later. I do think, to kind of come back to what you're talking about, Zach, is I think there is a certain hidden blessing in our addiction, meaning that we've had some pretty dark days, and knowing where we've come from, we can measure where we are and recognize as the liberating grace of God. Right? In that sense, not everybody who encounters God necessarily has had those experiences, those life-threatening traumas, so to speak, right? That kind of turns around. Some people just may have the normal life. You know, they're not criminals, they're not drug addicts, da-da-da. And it can be hard to say, well, where do I find the presence of God, this liberating grace, in the normalcy of life, right? And let us be clear, particularly for our listening audience, none of this is a promotion for addiction. No. Okay, this is not saying if you want to meet Jesus, go out there and become an addict. No, that's not the way. It's not the way it works. But I do think this particular pericope does challenge us on, if we're honest at the deepest level, how trusting are we that in our death we find life? I think this is explicitly clear on why Jesus was willing to die. He had that level of trust. That somehow in this death, life will prevail. All right, closing thoughts, comments, questions. All right, gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.